Well, thank you for making this a part of your Christmas tradition, at least this year, whether you're here for the first time or you come a lot. I've been meeting people from a lot of different parts of the country tonight. There are people here, of course, from different counties and bear country and Viking country. I've met a few of them. That felt good. And then there was someone from Connecticut, and so I asked at the last service, anything further than that, and there was California. And tonight, I believe we have Costa Rica, right? So, can anybody top Costa Rica? Philippines? Good to have you. Good to have you. Wow. All right. Anything more than the Philippines? The Charlie Brown Christmas movie is 51 years old. Isn't that hard to believe? And some of you are saying, Charlie who? But that tells you how old it is. But in the comic strip, there's this lovable little character named Linus. And Linus always had his blanket, often was sucking his thumb, and yet he seemed to be wise beyond his years at times. And yet we know there was something, some kind of fear, some kind of insecurity that he must have been dealing with. I'm not a psychologist, but there just has to be if he's carrying that thing around like he does. But there was one time when he dropped his blanket on purpose. And somebody this week alerted me to that fact by sending me a little clip from the Christmas movie. So we're going to show that. And as you watch it, be looking for the blanket.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So when did he drop his blanket? When the angel said, Fear not. Now, then he picks it up again, which kind of ruins my whole point. But we're supposed to realize that somehow Jesus Christ coming to earth has everything to do with addressing our fears and our insecurities. What are your fears and insecurities? For many, it's social relationships. You know, it just seems like everybody else knows how to visit, knows how to be a good friend, and, you know, other people, it's marriage that brings out insecurities. You feel so inadequate. Parenting brings it out, because next thing you know, they get to another stage, and what do you do now? For some people, it's thinking about religion and God, because we realize our own failures, our regrets. We all have fears. Linus, when he was reading the Christmas story, read about a fear in Luke 2, which was a fear after the birth of Jesus. It's when the angels appeared to the shepherds, scaring them to death in a dark mountain hillside, And their kind of fear was the startled kind of fear, like when your brother jumps out of the closet kind of a fear. But I want to refer us to a different fear in Matthew 1, another telling of the Christmas story, where it's the fear that Joseph experienced before Jesus was born. Now, to understand this, we need to know kind of what's going on, and that is that Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Now, that's a little bit more than engaged, because in their Jewish culture, you actually signed the marriage documents at betrothal, even though you didn't live together until after the wedding. And so to break that off was a significant thing. And they were engaged, they were betrothed, and everything seemed to be great. He had this young, and we assume beautiful, young fiance, and he had this job as a carpenter. He could support her, and everything was going along well. And then he finds out that Mary is pregnant. And it blows him out of the water. He finds out and realizes that beyond a shadow of a doubt, he knew that he was not the father. So what's he going to do now? He had fear. He had disappointment. He had the sense of betrayal. Obviously, he couldn't marry her, because if he couldn't trust her a few months before the wedding, how would he trust her after? Culturally, there was a way in which Joseph could be truly cleared in the eyes of his community. You could have kind of a public hearing where he would declare his innocence and everyone would believe him. But he didn't want to do that, because it would bring shame to Mary. And so he chose to do it as quietly as possible. He would divorce her, and that's what it was called, on the down low. And verse 20 says this, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Jesus, the name means God, or Jehovah's, saves. Then Joseph woke up. And I think when he woke up, he had basically two fears. He had the fear of what people would think if he were to marry her. And he had the fear of believing what God had said. Would he believe what God had said? And he had the fear of what people would think. And those are kind of the bottom line of a lot of our fears, aren't they? We fear what people think. And then we also fear believing and doing what God says. If Joseph marries her, the town of Nazareth will be buzzing and going, "Oh, you know those two." And if they try to explain it by saying, "Well, it's actually God's son," well, then they're going to think they're crazy, trying to cover up for their mistake. We fear what people think. And then there's the fear of believing what God said, because what God had said through the angel was, this baby was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and this baby will save his people from their sins. Are you going to believe God about that? Can a baby actually be conceived by the Holy Spirit? Can I believe that this baby that Mary is going to have is actually going to save us all from our sins? It was so impossible. But what did he do? Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. How did Joseph handle his fears? The fear of what people would think. He ignored what people thought and believed what God said. He ignored what people thought and believed what God said. Everyone here fears what people think. I think we'd be amazed if we realized how many things we do out of fear of what somebody thinks. And so we come up with kind of security blankets to deal with these issues. One is, we don't tell anyone about our fears. We just hold them all inside. We live kind of isolated. We just kind of, lock down, and nobody's going to know, because I'm not sharing my struggles with anybody. The blanket of don't tell anyone. The blanket of pretend. We don't want people to look down on us, so we pretend everything's okay, and so we are all smiles and everything is good, and we buy things we can't afford to impress people we don't even like, and we just try to come across as just being, everything's okay. Blanket of pretend, the blanket of diverting blame. Let people think it's someone else's fault. Obviously, Joseph could have done that. He could throw Mary under the bus, let her look like the bad one. And when something goes wrong at work, and we might share a part of it, we kind of back away, and it's what happened over here. And if we're struggling in our marriage, we're sure to let somebody else know, everybody else know, it's what she did, it's what he did. Diverting blame. We have all these ways of collecting security blankets. We are fiercely guarding our own reputation. But Joseph didn't do that. That's how he dealt with his fears. He ignored what people thought, and he believed what God said, and he dropped the security blankets to trust God. And that's always the choice that we're going to have. There's another very serious and important fear implied in this passage. It's in what the angel said, he will save his people from their sins. If you're being saved from something, you're probably afraid of what could happen. And frankly, that's the understanding that everybody has going through life, is we are afraid of death. When somebody dies, we can't help but be reminded, someday this is my turn. And so we don't just fear death and dying. Very often we fear what happens after we die. And because we have a sense of our sin, and we know all have sinned and we come short of God's glory, we know that somehow there is a standard that we don't measure up to, we have a fear of what will happen when we face God someday. That's the good news of Christmas. Jesus came to save us from that fear, to save us from our sin. As Linus quoted, the true meaning of Christmas is, unto you this day is born a Savior. What are you, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is your Savior from sin? And the way you find out is you ask yourself, what am I trusting in to get to heaven? What am I trusting in to save me from my sin? Because there is a view that pervades, it seems, all religions. If you're good enough, you can be saved from your sins. If somehow you can make your good stuff outweigh your bad stuff, somehow you're saved from your sins. If you've gone through the right rituals at the right church or the right religion, and you've at least been sincere about it, that somehow that counts, and then we're going to be okay. We're trusting really in what people think. We're trusting in what perhaps we've always assumed. Or the other choice is to believe what God said. But that's the only thing that'll handle our fears. And what the Bible says is, from John 3:16, I think Kevin read it earlier, for God so loved the world, that's sinful people like us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that's Jesus, Christmas and the cross. He came as a baby, lived as a man, died for our sins, rose again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not eternally be punished for sin, but instead will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's the true meaning of Christmas. That's what takes away our fear of death, our fear of judgment. The next morning, Joseph had a choice. Would he trust in his own way of handling the situation? It seemed obvious what he should do is put her away, divorce her. Would he trust in his own way of handling things, or would he believe God and obey him? And he woke up and did as the Lord commanded. The invitation to us this evening is this. What are you trusting in Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again? That's the offer. That's the free Christmas gift. You will never deal with your fears handling it your way, what you assumed, what you want to believe, the pride issue, kind of like, I think I'm good enough. The only way to handle our fears is to put our faith in what God promised, Jesus will save his people from their sins. Worship team, why don't you come together? This is a special time where we dim the lights and we're very careful.